Good evening. We have an opportunity to come back this evening to worship God, and it's certainly encouraging that we can come together and sing and pray and study God's Word together. This evening, I'd like for us to consider one of the most important obligations and responsibilities we have in our society and in the world as a whole, and that is to raise our children to be godly and to serve God. And it's certainly good for us to have an opportunity to look at that this evening. Now, I'm encouraged by our families here at Memorial Boulevard, and when we have new children born, and we see children growing up and being raised up, and older ones going off to college, and the whole spectrum and the whole age group there, it's very encouraging. And as parents, when we think about these things, we want to be pleasing to God. But as we're going to see this evening, it's certainly not limited to those who have children now. Maybe you've already raised your children, or maybe you don't have children. There are things here this evening that we can profit from and benefit from, and we may be able to share these things with others and help them as well. I remember back when Jesse was born in 1990. As a new parent, when she was born there in Camden, South Carolina, you bring the little baby home, and then all of a sudden the question is how? How do I feed her? How do I change her diaper? And how do I clean a bottle? And how do I do this? And how do I do that? I think one of the most common questions of a new parent is the question how. How do I get this done, and how do I get that done? And one of the things you might do is you might go to the library. And I remember back then you could go and check out a VHS video on how to raise children and the newborn and how to prepare this and how to prepare that and how to take care of this and that. There are a lot of books that have been written. There are DVDs and videos and different things like that. And you're scrambling around and you're trying to figure out how things work. And so it's a common question. It's a common consideration. But what we need to understand is that God gives us a book not on how to clean a bottle and how to change a diaper, but how to raise a child. And we need to understand that proper and effective raising of children is not only something that is going to affect us immediately. It's not going to be something that is just simply how that person's character turns out, but it's how the nation turns out as a whole. And it's how the church is going to turn out. And it's ultimately how that person is going to stand before judgment in God. And so it's a very grave responsibility and a very serious responsibility. And when you consider the importance of experience, if you look at our scripture reading in Titus chapter 2, it was important enough for the Apostle Paul to include this matter in the subject of sound doctrine. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. When you consider matters of the gospel, when you consider matters of the New Testament doctrine, you find here that it is important enough subject to include it there. In verse 1, young Titus was supposed to teach things that befit sound doctrine. And in that list is how an older man is supposed to carry out his life, an older woman, and then a younger woman, verse 4, and a younger man, verse 6. Family matters and raising children, verses 4 and 5, is a part of sound doctrine. It's a part of the New Testament gospel, and that's how important that is. And we find it important enough that in verse 3, that the older women, in verse 4, the older women are to train the younger women, that they may train the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, or serious, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Notice a couple of things here more. First of all, it's a part of sound doctrine, what we're talking about this evening, the home relationship, and mothers and their children. We're going to talk about fathers as well. Number one, it's a part of sound doctrine. That's how important that is. Number two, it's important enough that when an older woman can share her experience with someone that is younger, she needs to do that. That's how important that is. But also look at the last part of verse 5. In raising our children, it's important that we do it the right way so that the word of God be not blasphemed. Matters of the family, matters of raising children, is not just an opinion. It's not just, well, Maybe that's the way Chris was raised, or maybe that's the way it is in a particular society. These are things that must take place so that the Word of God is not blasphemed. That's a pretty heavy-duty responsibility. And so these are matters that are important to God. Now, there are several things mentioned in these verses. We're focusing in, of course, this evening on the raising of children. But notice that it is a part of sound doctrine. Notice that it is important for older women to not only share God's word in these matters, but personal experiences and the best way to do things. And then number three, we don't want to blaspheme the word of God by not carrying out the proper raising of our children. And so I hope our lesson this evening is important along these lines. When there is a newborn, as I mentioned earlier, there's all the how questions. How do I do this and how do I do that? And I don't know how to do this and I don't know how to do that. And you scramble around and you try to figure out how things are done. And of course, today, I guess a young parent could hop on the internet real quick and find an answer pretty quickly. You don't have to read through a book anymore. Or you could download a YouTube video, I guess, you know, and get it that way. But this evening, out of all the hundreds of questions that could be asked, out of all the things that could be known, I simply want to talk about three things that you need to know. The rest will take care of itself. First of all, you need to know your God. You need to know your God. When we raise children, we have all kinds of questions, and there's all kinds of things we're going to have to learn. There's all kinds of things before it's over with that we're going to have to know. But I want to talk about three foundational important things. Number one, it's critical that you and your mate know God. You've got to know your God. You need to know, first of all, that God has made you and me. And whenever someone is the author and the architect, they are the ones who know best on how things are to be done. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we are a creation from God. We are not the product of millions of years of evolution. Our universe is not 13.5 billion years old, and mankind millions and millions of years old because of a long process of evolution. It is not that at all. We are a direct creation from God. And so we find in chapter 1 in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." When you know your God, you know that you have a creator, that your God created you. He created mankind. And as a result, He writes the book on raising children. He writes the manual. He writes the blueprint. And you have to know your God, because if you don't, then it's the other process where there is no God, there is no creator, and we're here just by a long process of evolution. And so any method of child raising would be fine. Any societal method, any opinion on that, and we're seeing some of that in our world today, and so just anything goes. We have to know the person who designed us. We have to know who wrote the blueprint. And that starts by knowing that God made us and told us how to live and told our children how to live. Turn with me to Judges chapter 13, where we find that Samson's parents knew that very important thing. When Samson was born, his parents knew the importance of this very thing. We have to go to the source. We have to go to the God who made us and ask Him how we should raise our children. Ask Him how we should live. Ask Him what needs to be done in this situation or that situation. In Judges chapter 13, if you'll turn with me, verse 8, when the angel comes and speaks that there's going to be this boy that is born, verse 8, then Manoah entreated Jehovah, the husband, entreated Jehovah, "O Lord, I pray thee, let the man of God whom thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." Underscore that. God, you're going to teach us through this messenger what is supposed to be done. You've got to know your God. And your spouse has to know God. If you know God and your spouse doesn't, then there's going to be that conflict. There's going to be that imbalance. There's going to be, well, I want to do it one way, and then the other person is going to want to do it another way. You've got to know. And then you've got to say to the Lord, let us know. Teach us. Underscore that in verse 8. Many people today, well, I don't want to learn. I've got it all figured out. You can't teach me anything on raising children. I've got it all figured out. I can't learn anything new. We can all learn. And at any process of raising our children, we can all learn from God. And so notice this attitude of, come and teach us what we shall do unto the child. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and told her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. What shall be the ordering of the child, and how shall we do unto him? Underscore that in your Bible. What shall be the ordering? We're going to get to that later. It implies a certain way to go. Some of that is going to involve his Nazarite vow and that type of thing. But notice we're going to God. You've got to know God made us. And then God is going to teach us and tell us what is the ordering and the way to go. You've got to know God. And everybody that doesn't, I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them as they try to work out their marriage. I feel sorry for them as they try to raise their children. The more secular a person is, it's just a no man's land. But when you know God, you have a center, you have a moral compass, and you can begin to let God teach us the ordering of our children. Number two, not only do we need to know who designed us and who made us and who wrote the blueprint and go to Him and learn from Him how our children are to be raised, but you have to know that God has made a provision then for us to know Him. It's not guesswork. He's given us His Word. And so this matter of teach us what we shall do, God made a provision for that, and it's His Scripture. He told the Jews in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, that they were to, as their children rise up and as their children go to sleep, God's Word was to be a part of their life. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 78. You've got to know your God, and your spouse has to know God. And if your spouse does not, then I'll do what I can to help you study with that person and talk with that person. Because as the children go along the way, when they're real little, there's some cuteness about it, and there's some fun things about that. But as that child grows up, and as especially as they begin to have their own independence, and they're figuring out their own way, you've got one spouse that knows God, you've got another spouse that doesn't know God. And now we have a tug of war going on. And what's going to be allowed with regard to dress? And what's going to be allowed with regard to language and personal habits? And what's going to be allowed with regard to obeying the gospel or not, or being a member of the Lord's church or not? You see, we're going to have a tug of war going on. One knows God, the other one doesn't. Now's a good time to everybody be on the same page. Everybody be doing that the same way, you see. And if I can help in doing that, please let me know. But in Psalm chapter 78, look with me at verses 5 through 8. Psalm 78, 5 through 8. For He, God, established a testimony in Jacob, and He appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make it known to their children. Underscore that. When we think about God's commands, we think about what God commands us, and there's a lot of things that God commands us, but this particular command is a little different. It's a command to make sure that your children know the commands. So He gave us a command, and what was that? That they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children that should be born, who should arise and tell them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Now follow the train of thought, beginning in verse 5. Number one, God gives us His Word. Number two, it's the role of the parents to pass that on to their children. But look at it. Look at it. There's a positive and a negative. Look at verses 7 and 8 again. Why do we pass on God's Word to our children? On a positive side, so that they might set their hope on God. and on a negative side, so that they might not be a stubborn and rebellious generation. Do you want your child to grow up knowing God and staying away from a selfish, stubborn attitude that is so displayed in our society? Then it is you and your spouse passing on the Word of God to them. One of the biggest problems in our society is verse 7. It's the opposite. Young people don't have their hope set on God. And verse 8, they are stubborn and rebellious. Our juvenile detentions just get bigger and bigger. The jail system just gets bigger and bigger. And a lot of it starts in the home. So train up a child in the way that he should go. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6, we'll get to that in just a moment, how that the father is supposed to nurture the child in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Admonition of the Lord coming from His teaching. So you've got to know your God. And you've got to know that He made you, and He is the only one that we can go to teach us how to live. He is our designer. He is our creator. And number two, we've got to avail ourselves to that provision of coming to know Him through His Word. And then number three, you need to know that God must be seen first in your life and in my life. You remember the faith of the parent and grandparent of young Timothy? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You and your spouse need to be here each Sunday. You and your spouse need to be here each time the doors open. And if that is not a priority, let me encourage you to make that a priority. Because again, if our children see one person with God in their life and the other person without God in their life, that is going to be a mixed message. And it's just going to take a few short years. And I can tell you, Sherry and I can tell you from experience, you just turn around a few times, boom, and they're growing up. It just goes quicker than you think. And as they get up there pretty quick, all of a sudden, well, you know, this side has God in their life. That side doesn't have God in their life. It's a mixed message. And we don't know which one they're going to choose. And there could be a heartache coming down the road when they choose not to follow God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, having been reminded of the sincere or unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. I like that last statement. There was something that persuaded Paul in Timothy's actions and words and deeds that he was a faithful person. But his grandmother and his mother, you see. We need to know that this matter of God in our life and God's Word in our life must be seen daily in front of our children. If they're seeing something else, then there's going to be that mixed message. Turn with me to Acts chapter 21. In Acts chapter 21, when Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, he passed by and he was visiting some brethren different places along the way. And when he had come to Tyre, he had met with some brethren there before going down to Jerusalem. And when they were departing, look at verse 5. And when it came to pass that we had accomplished the days, we departed and went on our journey. And they all with wives and children brought us on our way, till we were out of the city, and kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and bade each other farewell. The whole family out there, kneeling down on the beach. Do our children, is our child going to see both mom and dad praying, both mom and dad attending church services, both mom and dad reading their Bible, you see? We've got to talk about that. We've got to have a heart-to-heart about that, because that, if there's all these things that, well, I don't know how, you know, I don't know how to do this and I don't know how to do that. A lot of that will come in time. But you need to know your God. That is just a bare minimum. And that is a foundation that we will have to have. And then make sure that that is seen in our life as we go along the way. Number two, not only do you need to know your God, but you need to know yourself. That old, we don't know who it's attributed to, but sometime before the time of Christ, the Greek philosopher and the Greek poet, who his inscription ended up on the temple there of Apollo, know thyself, know thyself. That's actually an interesting concept and statement. The idea is that you really need to know who you are as a person and as a character. And there's a lot of ramifications that come from that. And biblically, when we bring our lives into conformity to God's Word, we need to know who we really are. Again, we're not just sort of the end of a long process of evolution. Who are we? We're made in the very image of God. And so there's some things that we need to know. Number one, you need to know, as you know yourself and as I know myself as a parent, we need to know that God has given us the capability and the primary responsibility to raise our children. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. The first thing that we need to know about ourselves is that we are in the driver's seat. We are supposed to raise our children. This is not a responsibility of mom and dad. It's my responsibility. It's not a responsibility of the church. It's not a responsibility of my friends. It's not a responsibility of society. It's not the responsibility of the school. It's nobody's responsibility but mine. I need to know that God has made me, that I am supposed to take care of that primary responsibility. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, "For I have known him to the end that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of Jehovah to do righteousness and justice to the end that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken." God knew something about Abraham, that he would take care of that responsibility of commanding his children. Now, does that mean that nobody can help us with some of those practical matters? No, of course not. Jessica was born in 1990, and about 18 months later, here comes Jacob along the way. And by this time, we're over in Corpus Christi, Texas. So Sherry's got her hands full because her husband happens to be the preacher, and he's the one up front. He can't take care of the kids. Our dear friend, Beverly Madden, stepped in, and she would take care of Jessica while Sherry was holding Jacob. I'm not talking about that where you can't get somebody to help you out a little bit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about my primary responsibility is to take care of my children. From time to time, we're going to need a helping hand, obviously. We're not talking about those little types of things here and there. We're talking about the societal approach today that I bring a child into the world, and then in general, just to let everybody else raise them influence them and do this and do that. I need to know, with regard to myself, that I have that primary responsibility. There are a lot of times when we're not feeling well, we're under the gun in some way, and we need a family member or a friend to step in and help us out. We're not talking about that. We're talking about I have the responsibility spiritually and physically to be the primary developer. And God knew that in Abraham. I know that he's going to do this with his children. That's the first thing you have to know about yourself, that you are the primary responsibility. And don't shift that to someone else. You need to know, and I need to know, what God expects of me as a parent. What does God expect of me as a mother? What does God expect of me as a father? Some people don't consider that. It's just a matter of, well, can we have children? Well, that's good. And God makes us so that we can. But I need to know some things about myself. I am now a mother that has to be in line with God's Word. I am now a father that has to be in line with God's Word. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. This well-known chapter of the worthy woman. But what I wanted to notice was, in Proverbs chapter 31, her children rise up and call her blessed. But if you trace the line of thought all the way down, you see the reason why. Here is a mother who's taking care of her family. She's doing whatever it takes to get up and be responsible and take care of her family. And so her children rise up and call her blessed. That was not after some responsibility and some work and some maturity. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, the mother is described there as a worker at home, but the Greek word means literally a manager. She is knowing what is going on and making sure that those things are taken care of. That is what you are as a mother. And she is to love her children and love her husband and be in subjection. That's what you are as a mother, and you need to know that. That's what God is expecting of you. Society doesn't care about these kinds of things. None of that really matters. But God is seeing, are you a home manager? Are you providing for your children? Are you getting up and taking care of them the way you need to take care of them? You've got to know that. And once you know that, then things will be the way God wants them to be. But you have to know yourself as a father. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, we understand that the father's working. And we're working and we're paying the bills and we're trying to take care of our children that way. But along those lines, we certainly need to do that. But in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You need to know as a father that you have to be ahead of your household and make spiritual decisions for you and all of your family that are going to put you in line with obeying God. We're going to serve the Lord, and then you're also going to teach them those things from the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. A lot of times we talk about the importance of a mother with regard to raising children. We need to understand that as fathers, and myself, I need to know my role as a father. And a part of that, you fathers, Ephesians 6 verse 4, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them, literally bring them up, nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Those two words mean teaching and warning, or discipline and warning of the Lord. But the father is mentioned there. Well, that's women's work. Well, there are other passages that deal with a woman's role in spiritual things, in teaching and training. But a father must do that as well. It's not just a matter about keeping a job and making sure that food's on the table. I have to take each one of my children and make sure that I'm nurturing them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. That's a father's doing. And many of us are here this evening because our fathers did that. I would think Larry would say that his father did that with him. My father did that with me. Shannon's father did that with him. We can't be absentee, guys. We can't be absentee. We can't say, well, I'm busy. No. Well, I've got this and I've got that. No. As I've got this and I've got that, my children are growing up and they're going on their way. Am I an intricate part, an intimate part of their life? I have to know my role as a mother and as a father, and I need to be busy doing that. And then the third thing I need to know about myself is that we need to know that God is giving us a choice. He doesn't force you to raise your children a certain way. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. He's going to give you a choice. And you're either going to choose you and your spouse, or in the case of a single parent, it'd be the same. He's going to give you a choice of whether or not you're going to raise them and guide them carefully and raise them so that they'll grow up one day and serve the Lord, like Hannah said in Hannah chapter 1 and verse 11. "Look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me. And don't forget thy handmaid, but I will give unto thy handmaid a man-child. Then I will give him unto Jehovah all the days of his life." That is a conscious choice that she made. You give me this child, I'm going to give him back to you. Just like Joshua made a conscious choice. God is not forcing us to raise our children right. He blesses us with children. They are a heritage from the Lord. Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5. "Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them," but he's giving us a choice. He's not going to force us to raise them right. In contrast to that, look at Eli in chapter 3. You have Hannah, who is making the choice that I'm going to work as hard as I can during those formative years, because you just turn around a few times and they're gone. During those formative years, I'm going to try to give them back to the Lord all the days of their life. Or you can be like Eli, whom his approach was often the approach of modern society. I'm going to take a hands-off approach. And we know how wicked they were. So in chapter 3 and verse 13, he chose this approach. "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons did bring a curse upon themselves, and he restrained them not." So we find them fornicating in the tabernacle and doing all kinds of bad things. It's a choice. We've got to know that God has given us that choice. And please, let us all help each other make the choice that Hannah made and not the choice of Eli. Is it challenging along the way to lay down boundaries and to lay down those rules that come from God's Word and boundaries and some discipline? Yes, that is difficult. But it must be done because we're making that choice to keep them on the narrow way that leads to eternal life. So you got to know yourself. And then last of all, you have to know your child. And you might be thinking, well, I know my child. I know their name. I know what they look like. I know that they might have a birthmark here or there. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is what God's Word talks about is you have to know your child. You have to know that your child does not come with prepackaged software. And when you open it up out of the box, you hit the on button and the prepackaged software just kind of runs on its own. That's your job. That's my job. They need molding, in other words. They don't come like a computer and you just open the lid and hit the on button and all it just boots up and it just runs. That's your job. That's my job. We have to mold our children. And here's one area where, because it's challenging, many drop the ball. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. They're not prepackaged software. You know, they're running Windows 8, and they're born, and you hit the on button, and it just starts running. That God has had a plan. He could have chosen a number of different plans, but He chose a plan in which parents are going to be given a baby. And that baby is not a prepackaged software just running on its own machine. That is, He chose a plan where the mom and dad are going to mold that in the right kind of way. And so in the process of molding, there are some things that come along the way. Turn with me to Proverbs. There's several passages that would illustrate this, but I wanted to just simply stay in Proverbs. So let's look at a few things. First of all, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You've got to instill that in your child. That doesn't come prepackaged. You have to instill in them the fear of the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You have to put into them what their friends are all about. You have to talk with them about that. They don't come prepackaged with, well, these are the friends I'm supposed to have and these are the friends I'm not supposed to have. That's your job to mold them in that area. They've got to fear God. They've got to watch their friends. And they've got to know how to make those kinds of decisions. Turn with me to chapter 7 and verse 10 with regard to clothing. We studied this morning in our Bible class. They don't come prepackaged where they're just automatically going to put on modest apparel. In fact, it's the opposite. They're going to want to wear what the world is wearing and what their friends are wearing. We've got to mold and make that. And so we have here in verse 10, we have the attire of a harlot. That immodest apparel that's going to attract the opposite sex. But look at verse 10. Not only was she immodestly dressed, but she had a wily heart. Here's a woman not only dressed immodestly, but her heart is deceiving. And tricking people and deceptive. Well, where did she get that? She was molded that way somehow. You don't come prepackaged with all that kind of thing. It's the parents' understanding. We have to know that our child needs us to mold and make, like bending the twig. If we want the tree to grow a certain way, and that big, mighty tree, we've got to do that molding and bending in the early stages. Turn with me to chapter 13 and verse 20. You've got to know that your child needs you each day to mold and make them. That is God's plan. Walk with wise men, and thou shalt be wise. But the companion or friend of fools will smart for it. It's up to you as a parent to mold your child where they're going to grow up and they're going to stay over here with wise people. They're going to pick their friends and they're going to walk with people that are wise and right and godly and Christian. They're not going to be a companion of fools. They don't come prepackaged making that decision. You are helping them, molding and making them to do that. Verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him diligently. Sometimes it's going to take a corporal punishment. A young family, we had Jesse just a few months there in South Carolina, and young families in the church saw that she got an occasional spanking. And so I was asked one time after services about that, and when I talked with the young parents, we just can't do that with our child. I just don't see how we can do that. And I was wondering, well, why are you asking me to start with it? You see what we're doing. You see that we're trying to follow God's word. Why are you asking me? But, Brother Reese, I just don't see that I can do that. We're trying to follow God's word. But our children need that from us. Look at chapter 22 and verse 15. Not just on the matter of discipline, but the fear of the Lord, choosing friends, what I'm going to wear. All of these things, we as parents are put in the place to help them make those godly decisions. Look at chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So they start goofing around and doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Good spanking will take care of that. Chapter 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. And I stand before you this evening bearing witness to the truth of that. Chapter 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But look at this. A child left to himself causeth shame to his mother. I wanted to close with this because this is what is often in society. A child left to himself will cause shame to his mother. It's almost the opposite today. I have my children, and because they're prepackaged with all that software, they'll just run on their own. I don't have to do anything. No, that's when problems come. I am there to mold and make. I'm not going to let society do that. I'm not going to let the church do that. I'm not going to let somebody else do that. I am going to do that. I also need to know this about my child, that there is a situation which I can actually provoke them or discourage them. We don't talk about this maybe as much as other matters, but turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. As a parent, I need to be careful that I do not provoke my child to wrath, or some versions use the word discourage them. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. And then look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children that they be not discouraged. One version says disheartened. We need to know that our child has a spirit. And we can work things in such a way that we dishearten them and that we discourage them. Now, that doesn't mean that don't give them any rules and any laws and any boundaries. What that means is we need to be consistent in how we raise them. We need to be fair in how we raise them. We need to be loving in how we raise them. But we can discourage and dishearten by setting the bar too high for their particular age, being inconsistent, treating one child differently from another. We need to know that our child has a spirit. And if we're not careful, we can break that in the wrong way. So we need to raise them in the right kind of way. And then last of all, we need to know that our child, like ourselves, needs God more than anything else in life. That is the most important thing. Your spouse needs God in his or her life, and your children need God in his or her life. If not, again, I mentioned to you the other day, I'd like to put a lesson together, and I was actually doing some reading on this past week. We're having in this nation what is being called the Rise of the Nuns, N-O-N-E-S. It's a quite interesting phenomenon, and it's rapid. And that is, more and more people are just nothing. They're just nothing. And as we see more and more of that going on, we're going to see our society just keep going down more and more. We've got to be careful that we don't have this situation right here. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy, Moses is talking about the great things that God did for Israel in the wilderness and bringing them and how much he provided for them. But then there would be times when Israel, like children, would rebel and turn their back. And we find in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 28, "For they are a nation void of counsel, and there is no understanding in them." We're going to find a situation where they simply don't want God. Now back up to verse 20. Back up to verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. Children in whom is no faith. Is that what you want? When your child is walking across the stage at graduation, 18 years old, a child with no faith. They're going off to college. A child in who is no faith. Is that what you want? Is that what I want? Well, of course we don't want that. But that's what we're seeing on a daily basis. And it's because we don't know our God. We really don't know ourselves as parents and what is expected of us. We don't know our children and what is best for them. And so they grow up, Deuteronomy 32:28. Children in whom is no faith. What a sad situation. Judges 2:10. A generation who knew not God. And so Timothy's mother understood the importance of this, and as a babe, you can't start too early, he knew the sacred writings which were able to make him wise unto salvation. Well, the lesson is yours. You need to know your God. Know yourself. Know your children. All those other things will come into place. And as a new parent, I remember scrambling around, what do we do about this, and how do I do this, and how do I take care of that? All of that comes in time. But the important things of guiding a young person all the way to heaven, it's know your God, know yourself, and know your child. And I believe there are families here who are on the right track with those three things. And we're here to help you be on that right track. If there is something out of place in one of those areas, let's talk about that and let's see how that we can improve in those areas. And I'm open to that as much as anyone. I'm certainly not a perfect parent. If somebody sees something in my life that needs to be changed with regard to my children, please bring that to my attention. We want to go to heaven. I want to know my God. I want to know my role as a father. I want to know my children. And I want us to all be in heaven together. Our society is trying to take us down. Our society, the devil, is trying to keep us out of heaven. And one of the first lines of attack is in the home. You know, with regard to lessons that can be learned this evening, there are some young people here, Lord willing, in the next few years, they're probably going to be married somewhere. They're going to find a godly mate. And you're going to start having children. You need to learn from this lesson. We don't have to sit here this evening with children in our arms to learn. A few years down the road, I'm going to get married. A few years down the road, I'm going to have my children. You've got to know your God. And you've got to know yourself. And you've got to know your children. So for our young people this evening that one day will grow up and hopefully marry a godly mate and begin a godly family, you've got to know these things. And for those of us who already have children, we have them in different age groups. We have just the little ones and those that are a little bit older and those that have already gone off to college. And there's different challenges along the way. There's different needs and responsibilities and things that have to be worked out. Different attitudes begin to be displayed at different ages along the way. But if you know your God and you know yourself and you know your children, those things will be taken care of. And throughout all of those different periods of life and changes that go on in children growing up, we'll be able to remain faithful to God. Let's pray for our children. If we have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, continue to pray. Continue to put these principles. It's not too late. They may come to their senses. And so if I have someone and it hurt my parents to have a child or more that had left the faith. It hurt them. It hurt my mom. It continues to hurt my dad. I don't even know how I would go through that. It's got to be very painful. But as you go through that, those same three things are important. Continue to know your God and know yourself and know your children and continue to pray. And that prodigal may come back. Whatever we are, whatever situation we're in, these are the things that are absolute necessary to know. And they will help us to get to heaven. If there's someone here this evening that needs to respond to God to show that you really know God and that you want to obey Him, we would encourage you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. Come forward. repenting of your sins and washing those away in the waters of baptism and walk away a new creature in Christ. If there's someone who needs to come back in some way, we would encourage you to do that. If you need the prayers, if you want to confess something or repent of something and pray together, we can certainly do that. But let's all, with regard to our children or helping others with their children, base those things on godly principles and we'll be rewarded greatly in the end. If we can help you in any way, why wouldn't you come as we stand and sing?